Amen. It's good to be here tonight.
Need some water? I can get you some.
Please.
Yes. Okay.
That was a long drive in here on that freeway. That was, I should say, parking lot. So I would appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate the chance to finally get to meet Brother Larry. We've talked so many times on the phone, and so it's a real joy to get to finally meet you and to be here. And I appreciate the pastor allowing me to be in his pulpit. I do not take that lightly. Amen. It's always a privilege and a joy when somebody allows you to share the word with his people. So I appreciate that tonight, and I really appreciate this water. Well, I'm giving you a little bit of an update on AFBM. If you turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, I'm going to be kind of preaching off the cuff tonight. I've had this on my mind for the last 2 days. I don't know why. It's just been there. And so the Lord's kind of been working in my head with this a little bit. So we're going to see where the Lord takes us. Amen. But I'm going to give you a little bit of update on AFBM. AFBM is going through a transition. Amen. Anytime you have new leadership, you have new vision, a new way of doing things. And last year, I was sitting in Okinawa, Japan, a very happy camper. The pandemic was in full bloom over there. Lockdowns were just messing everything up. We were back in our house because, like I said, the owner sold the land, so we lost our building. What you may not know is the building was right next door to my house, which made it really convenient. I was never late for church.
Amen.
And we had our Sunday school and our junior church and nursery over in the house. And then we moved the nursery over to the building when we remodeled it. We had finished a two-year remodeling project about 5 months before we lost the building. And you want to talk about... So anyway, so I went out doing what I would normally do, and I would look for a new building. That's just what you do. And by the way, since the pandemic was happening, there was a lot of buildings empty that I could get into. But the problem is, I went in there, and there just was no passion, no vision. And I was like, there's something wrong here. This is something I've never experienced before. So the first thing I did was got on the phone to my pastor. I said, Pastor, you need to pray for me. There's something changing, and I don't like it, and I don't know what it is. So we prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it. Well, in 2018... I met Harold Pierce down in Texas, like I told you. And I saw on Facebook he had COVID. And so I, you know, called him. I was laid on my heart, and I called him and said, Harold, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing great. He said, I'm recovering and everything. He said, by the way, we have a new director. You ought to call him. His name's Kevin Brown. I said, okay, whatever. And I hung up. I had no desire to leave Japan. And but I couldn't get that off my heart. 2 weeks later, I called Kevin Brown. And I'm not a phone person. I talk to Larry probably more on the phone than I do most people. I'm like, get on the phone, let's get it done, you know what I'm saying? And that's where I normally am. But there's some people that I really enjoy talking to. And I talked to him for over an hour. And that's very unusual for me. And I just talked to him, and we were talking about AFBM and the vision. And once again, I asked the question, why had I never heard of AFBM? And he let me in on some of the history and things like that. I said, okay, well, we'll see how it goes. So I called my pastor. I said, Pastor, consider this. Well, long story short, October 1 of last year, I landed back in the States, went to Virginia, attended Good News Baptist Church for a month, met the deacons, met the board had already voted me in. We did our interview overseas. And so where is AFBM now? AFBM is in a refocusing process, if you will. We have gone in a direction over the last few years that really wasn't the intent of AFBM. So what we're doing as a team, Brother Kevin and myself, is we're refocusing to church planning and servicemen centers. Amen. Getting back onto the bases. That's why it's so important that we pray for Brother Larry to get back on Keesler. I'm going to have a hard time saying Keesler. It's Kessler. It's Keesler, right? And so we need to pray for those. Our military guys need the Lord more than ever. Amen. Amen. With the wokeness and all this mess that's going on, Believe me, I don't even know what it'd be like to be in the military these days, but I've dealt with the guys that have. And so we dealt with Marines and airmen and sailors and Army over there. For 13 years, we were on mainland between a Navy and an Army base, and we were a short time at an Air Force base, and then last 7 years with the Marines. So I got to see them all, amen? And what I know is we need to have a church there for them.
Amen.
I ask people, I say, what is missions? What's missions is where you send somebody to somebody. Right? That's simplistic as you can get. A missionary is somebody that takes the gospel. All right? So when you think about missions, though, in normal churches, you think of people that are going to a foreign land to learn a language, to learn customs, and to start a church and to bring those local people into the church. You think about home missions. What's home missions? You have people that are going to Americans that are of a different flavor. Mormons, for instance, Utah. I spent 5 weeks in Utah one time. Believe me, I learned more about Mormonism than I ever wanted to learn. But guess what? They need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
So we also have home missions that are going to people to start churches where there are no churches. So what is military missions? Well, in military terms, it's a prepositioning ministry. A prepositioning ministry. What we're doing is we're sending a person and a family, a man and his family, overseas or in the States even, going to a place where we've already sent our field. Think about it. We're the only ones that send our field to us. Amen? And then you go and a military person goes and gets a building, already knows language, already knows customs, already knows the people. So they go and find a place that when people come to them, they can have a place to worship. And then what? To propagate the gospel and start winning people to Christ. So our focus is church planting and servicemen center. So what is my job as director of operations? I'm actually over the home office, which means that I work for the secretary. And if you've ever had, you know. So anyway. But no, we have a team there with Mary Lynn and Denise that handles finances and administrative parts. I'm kind of over that. And then I assist the director. But what is my main focus? Out recruiting, encouraging, stopping by and seeing some of our missionaries when I'm in the area. So it's great that my daughter-in-law is graduating, so I get to meet Brother Larry, amen, be in this great church tonight. And then to go out and also to hopefully get a chance to go overseas and fill in for some missionaries. That's going to be a great thing. We got some missionaries that are looking at furlough, and I may have the opportunity to go over there. Being retired military, I can get right ready on the base. I can just fill in. I've been a missionary over Japan for 20 years, so I know the field. Amen. So that's what we're doing in a nutshell. After church, if you'd like to ask me more questions, I'd be more than happy to answer those questions. But if you turn your attention now to 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah has been chosen by God to take Elijah's place. Now, Elijah has a big name. He's the prophet of Israel. He has committed many miracles, and he is well known, and he's done some incredible things. And here this Elijah guy out there plowing a field one day, and the guy comes along and says, "Follow me." He says, "Wait a minute, I need to go and take care of my family real quick, and then I'll follow you." He said, "Okay," and then he runs after Elijah, catches up with him, and now we're at that point where it's a very famous story in the Bible, if you're not familiar with it. God is going to take Elijah up in a whirlwind. I don't know about you, but that would have been an incredible moment. I've seen a lot of things in my life. I have stood on top of Mount Fuji and looked out at God's creation. But to sit there and see a whirlwind with chariot and horses of fire come down and take somebody up, I think that might beat the view from on top of Mount Fuji. I just don't know, but I think that would. Amen? So here we are, and all of a sudden, people are telling Elijah, stay where you're at. Stay where you're at. Even Elijah himself tells him, stay here. We'll pick the story up in verse 4 of Elijah, chapter 2, verse 4. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Verse 5, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but we know that three times he was told to tarry and then admonished by the prophets and other people to stay. You know, it was an amazing thing in 1978 when I joined the United States Army. You know what some of my family and friends said? What a great opportunity. You're going to get to see the world. So what do? They sent me to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Not much of a world there. And then you're going to make new friends. You're going to have new experiences. Well, that was all right. In 1996, I informed my family that I was going to retire from the military and go to be a missionary in Japan. You know what the response was? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
You're going to leave what you know and your home and your friends?
Yeah.
Well, what is wrong with you? And then Susan said, you should have seen my face. My wife named Susan. Susan said, you were on the phone with your sister and your face just kind of contorted a little bit. And what had happened is my sister gave me permission to go to Japan for 3 years. She said, okay. Well, if you go there for 3 years, I'd be okay. And my wife said, I just went, my face just went, I don't know what happened, but I just kind of was like, what? You know, I've traveled a lot. That car out there, we saved up and we bought it when we came back to the States. And one of the main reasons I bought it was for the gas mileage. It's a Ford Escape Hybrid. I get between 45 and 50 miles to a gallon. Then the prices went up, and I'm really happy with that thing now. Amen. As a matter of fact, I get worse gas mileage on the freeway because of it uses more of the engine. I'm still getting 30 to 35 miles to a gallon. I just received a notice from Ford that they're scheduled with my 7,500-mile checkup in June. The thing just flipped over 22,000 miles. So I've traveled a little bit. Amen.
Yeah.
And since I've been back in the States, matter of fact, I spent New Year's in Colorado. I spent Christmas in Utah. We've been all over the place. My Sunday church was in Texas, so we say goodbye to them in December. We've been all over the place. Overseas, I see missionaries over there and military. And you know what I'm hearing? A lot of people are quitting.
Yeah.
Just quitting. Just fed up with the whole thing. Just tired. And I cannot tell you how many people have told me, why don't you just retire? You've done your thing. You've done your time.
Yeah.
You have done enough. Why don't you just retire and enjoy your golden years? Now, in my mind, that means sit down, quit, and die. But that's my opinion, right? But you know how many preachers I've heard say, I'm just ready to give up? How many church members that have given up?
Yeah.
How many church members we had overseas that just got tired of the whole thing, that when we said, hey, come back to church, they said, you know, we're just happy sitting at home, watching the live stream.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people went to a different church because they weren't requiring as much? You could go and just hear the word and leave with no pressure. I literally had somebody say, Pastor, I like going to that church because I leave not feeling convicted. And I looked dead at him and said, you're in the wrong church.
Amen.
You are definitely in the wrong church. And I just for the last couple of days have kind of been going over my head because we've been traveling down from Virginia and things. And Lord is just, I haven't even read this. I've just been thinking about it a lot. Where Elijah could have very easily quit.
Amen.
And nobody would have said anything about it.
Yep.
How many times could we have quit and nobody said anything about it?
Yep.
How many times would we have quit and somebody says, I don't blame you for quitting?
Yep.
I can't do that because of exactly what the preacher opened this service with. I had a Lord that died for me.
Amen.
I can't quit on Him. He never quit on me.
Amen.
Go down to verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. If Elijah would have quit, he'd have missed that.
Amen.
He'd have missed that.
Amen.
He'd have missed that. I don't know about you, but I have never crossed a stream on dry land. I've crossed a few. I grew up in the country. I've been deer hunting. I've been rabbit hunting. I would call it squirrel hunting, but I've never found or shot one. But anyway, I've been out there with a rifle in the hopes of seeing one. So I've been out there and I've crossed streams and everything. And I think about the Red Sea and I think about this. Could you imagine just sitting there watching the water part and dry land? Did you know that's physically impossible? Every law of man and of nature says that will not happen.
Yep.
It must have been a God thing.
Amen.
And I sat there and I looked. He would have missed that.
Yep.
And then in verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I don't go to their churches. I don't believe in their doctrines. But I don't bash a lot of other so-called preachers. Joel Osteen can preach to 45,000 people all he wants in millions. I've never done that. But if he came up to me today and said, what would you like? I would not say, I want your ministry.
Amen.
Unless I could preach the way I wanted to, amen, and play the music I wanted to, right?
Yeah.
But it just wouldn't happen. There's other churches I've been into where the if the preacher come up and said, ask what I'll give to you, it would not be their ministry. I want my ministry. And Elijah did not ask Elijah for his ministry, for his notoriety, for his miracles. He didn't ask anything but this, a double portion of thy spirit. And I love Elijah's answer. In verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, I shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. How many of us are asking for hard things? Asking for hard things. Lord, could you just make this easier on me? I preached a message. Did you hear about the earthquake in Japan in 2011? The big one that really shook things up? I was up in Misawa at a missions conference. And the tsunami hit up there. I preached a message one time when blessings become burdens. I love the top floor. So I'm at the Air Force Base on Misawa. And they said, what floor do you want? I said, I want the top floor. The earthquake hit. Guess what was the first thing that went? Electricity. Guess what runs on electricity?
Elevators.
My room is now on the fourth floor. And I'm sitting there going, when blessings become burdens. Amen? I had a blessing, a good view. But you know something? A burden is sometimes a negative thing because it's something that weighs us down. It's something that makes it harder on us. A burden is sometimes viewed as something that's oppressive and something that will push us down. But what happens when a burden becomes a blessing?
Yeah.
Because you know what happened? Somebody with a key card had to walk up those four flights of steps with us every time we went to our room. And they ultimately ask the question, what you doing in the cell? Amen. You know how many tracks? How many people I got to witness to?
Amen.
You see, my blessing became a burden. Boy, I did not want. And as long as that car key was happening, I was walking up them steps by myself. But then the car key expired. So they had to have a master one. And that's when the burden became a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. And so in my life now, I've looked at burdens as not so as oppressive as something that's going to come into a blessing.
Yeah.
sound like a Joel Osteen there for a second. But anyway, but I sit there and I look at Elijah. Elijah was asking for something that was going to become a great burden on him. He asked a hard thing.
Amen.
He wanted a double portion of Elijah, the prophet of Israel, the man. He wanted his spirit. And not just his spirit, but a double portion of it. He saw Elijah. He's heard the story of Elijah where they tried to kill him, where he was out on Mount Carmel and took on all those prophets and all these things. He did all that. And now Elijah's saying, can I have a double portion of your spirit? He's asking a hard thing. Amen?
Yep.
And I sit there and I think to myself, do I ask for hard things? Well, when I came on with AFBM and I started learning more and I was being told about some things, you know what I thought? This isn't going to be so easy. I thought it was going to be an easy job. It sounded fancy, director of operations. You know?
Yeah.
I thought, hey, this is pretty cool. You know what I found out? It's work.
Yeah.
It's work. I remember 1999, I retired. We were on deputation. We went straight from active. Matter of fact, I started deputation a year before I retired. Any place I could get to on weekends. And some people asked me, said, what'd you do after you retired? I went to work.
Amen.
Well, now I've retired a second time as a missionary in Japan, a pastor, if you will. And what people say, what'd you do when you retired? I went to work.
Amen.
Why? Because I don't want easy things. Because I think of my God going up that hill with that cross.
Amen.
Beaten. Bloody. Couldn't even tell he was a man. And yet, he still climbed to that tree.
Amen.
Still climbed up there. For me. For you.
Amen.
Now, we know the rest of the story. We know he was taken up in the whirlwind. Right? Well, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is my life verse. This is, I was sitting there one day and some people asked me, how did you get called to Japan? Now, I got saved in Germany. I want to let you know. I was in Germany. My wife said, I want to go to church. My first response was, why? I did not grow up in church. I was 29 years old. We had what I thought everybody should have. My wife was a GS. She was working on base. I was a sergeant, about to make staff sergeant. We had our life. We had a beautiful little girl, two and a half years old. Just life was supposed to be so good, right? But there was an emptiness in us. And my wife said, I want to find what's missing.
Yeah.
Well, she had a lot of church background. She wasn't religious so much as she was just confused about a lot of stuff. Graduated Catholic high school, went to a Southern Baptist church, babysat at an Episcopalian church. She was exposed to all kinds of stuff. Now, I worked 24 on 24 off 8-hour days. That means every third Sunday I was either coming off 24-hour duty or on 24-hour duty. You think I want to spend that one Sunday that I'm not coming off duty or on duty going to church? No. So when we went to the chapel and everybody was leaving because I forgot the clocks had changed, I was one happy camper, right?
Yeah.
Everybody was, I was like, yeah. And she goes back to our house, picks up this little piece of paper that somebody had put in our laundry room down in the basement, and said, let's go to this church. I said, what's that? She said, it's Lawn Baptist Church. I said, that's a German church. We won't understand anything. Walked in that church, and guess what we found? A bunch of Americans.
Yep.
And a guy named Nutt was the pastor. A nut led me to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't go. So anyway, but the first time I preached there, or went there and heard the preaching, the guy came up to me and said, you've got to come back. I'm not the pastor. I'm filling in for him tonight. And I'm like, why are you so excited? This is just church. Well, on May 29th, 1986, a knock at our door, 9B Lubin, Gartenstrasse, apartment 18 in Little R, Germany. I opened the door and there's the preacher. And he walked into our house and he showed me what that little piece of paper was. It was a tract. And then he said, do you have a Bible? And I went in, and my mother-in-law had given us a Bible. It was a Schofield King James Bible. And he went everywhere she highlighted and showed us verses. And that night, for the first time, I understood who Jesus Christ was.
Amen.
And we came together to the Lord. She's at that end of the coffee table. I'm at this end of the coffee table. The preacher's on the couch.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, it's like, I get it.
Amen.
I get it. And we got saved and we got baptized. And that year, I preached my first message. I still remember it. The house on the rock, the house on the sand. I don't remember anything in between because I was scared to death, told the pastor, I'd never do this again. Don't ever say that. Amen. So I'm sitting there at Fort Polk, Louisiana, so I thought I'd go back to Germany. And I read a little article in my Lazy Boy. You see, I got called from the most comfortable place you could ever be at. Amen. Reading a newspaper in a Lazy Boy. And it said, tariffs affecting the military in Japan. And my question was, what military? Well, I started studying and started looking. Found out there was 42,000 U.S. military over there. And their families. I was Army. Korea, Germany, I understood those. I didn't know about Japan. And slowly, and then in 1995, God called us to Japan. And then he led me to this. And every time I get just a little wanting to quit, I go to this verse. Anytime I get a little discouraged, I go to this verse. Anytime I get frustrated, I go to this church. Why? Because it reminds me of May 29th, 1986. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all," think about that, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day," what? "According to the Scriptures." So when I came on board with AFBM, the mission hasn't changed. Not being a missionary anymore, the mission hasn't changed. Not being a youth pastor in three different churches hasn't changed. Being a junior church teacher hasn't changed. Being an usher hasn't changed. My job, and no matter what capacity I'm in, is to deliver what I first received.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what our mission is, to get people out there to deliver what we first received. You know why Elijah didn't quit where he could have? Because that's not where the blessing was.
Amen.
The blessing was there.
Yep.
And how many times has somebody quit a step, two steps, three steps, 10,000 steps before the blessing? Amen. Before the blessing. I don't normally share this story, but I'm feeling led to share it tonight. In 2005, my wife was expecting our seventh child. And we found the news that he was Down syndrome. And we had total peace about it through the whole thing. You know? It'd be easy to get rid of it.
Come on.
It'd be easy to take that burden off your life. It'd be easy just to wash your hands and say it never happened. And we looked at them and said, "When's the due date? We didn't care about all that. If God was going to give us a Down syndrome child, then we wanted a Down syndrome child.
Amen.
If God was going to put that in our life, there was a reason for it.
Amen.
8 hours before he was born, the doctor come in and said, "It's not there. He had a heart condition associated with Down syndrome, and he's gone." And me and my wife looked at each other. Okay. What now? You don't understand, you just lost the baby. No, we did. But we lost the opportunity to know him.
Amen.
But we will one day get to know him.
Amen.
And they thought we were nuts.
Yeah.
And my wife gave birth to that baby as these nurses cried. And me and my wife's going, "Y'all okay?"
Yeah.
It was awesome. We're sitting there witnessing to the nurses. They couldn't believe it when our pastor from the States called and prayed with my wife as she was in labor. They couldn't believe it. They were crying. And that burden, what the world saw as a burden, became a blessing.
Amen.
The Coastal Baptist Church and Lighthouse Baptist Church, our church was Lighthouse, they were the Coastal Baptist Church, Brother Mark. We would alternate picnics. This was a great deal. They would have like Memorial Day, and they would do all the work. We just show up with potluck stuff and do all the games with them and stuff. then we would do 4th of July, and we would host it. We'd do all the work. They would come up to us. And it was a great deal. And then on the September one, Labor Day, we would just have our own picnics. So we're there at Memorial Day, and I look up, and I was like, ma'am, don't I know you? She goes, I was one of the nurses.
Amen.
I said, really? She goes, yeah. After I saw what you and your wife did, God got a hold of me.
Amen.
I
turned back to him.
Amen.
That burden was a blessing. Amen. Now, I didn't see it that day. Didn't even know it was happening.
Yep.
Amen.
But I'm sitting there going, don't I know you?
Amen.
And she goes, yeah. I was there.
Amen.
The day you and your wife shed.
That's blessing. Amen.
By the way, me and my wife shed a lot of tears. To this day, I still can't believe that we held Daniel for 2 hours before we gave him up. We knew he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But we just wanted that time. We never shed a tear then. You know where the shedding the tears came? In the testimonies later on. When that burden became a blessing.
Amen.
You see, we could have stopped. I'll just get rid of it. We could have stopped in Japan. This is too hard.
Yeah.
We could have stopped, all of us, during the COVID thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad Brother Larry sent me letters saying, I'm trying to get on base. Would you help me with these letters? Yeah, we'll help you. Why? Because he's not quitting.
No.
You can't quit. Why? Because the blessing's not here.
Yeah.
It's there.
Amen.
It's not yet. You see, I'm yet to go to Air Force Base and I knock on this door. A couple had visited our church. Somebody give them a track. I walk in there. I'm looking around. They got a little boy. He's over there playing. They invite me in. I sit down on the couch. She sat there at the end of a coffee table. He sat there at a coffee table. And it took me back. I remember when the preacher was sitting there. And I was there. And my wife was there. And my little girl was over there. And I gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they tears run down their face, accepting Christ as a Savior. And 2 weeks later, I baptized them both. Amen. And all I thought was, what if I'd quit? What if I'd quit? What if people would just quit? It'd be so easy.
Yep.
It'd be so easy. I take my military retirement, Social Security. Don't even like saying that. Get a job at Walmart. Hi, how you doing today? Glad you're here. I greet it at church. I'm good at it. Amen? But you know something? I can't quit. Why? Because I received something.
Amen.
And I think about Elijah. Elijah. Quit, Elijah. Quit, Elijah. Elijah, tarry here. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't understand. The blessing's not here. It's there. And then as he's standing there, and he goes up, and the whirlwind takes up Elijah and everything else, Elijah doesn't sit there and go, wow, that's... No, he goes over and picks up that mantle and says, let's see what God got. Amen. And then in the next verse in chapter 3, he's at a big battle. Jehoshaphat says, there's the man of God here. And he says, Elijah here. You know what Elijah's claim to fame was? He poured water on the hands of Elijah.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? He poured water on the hands of Elijah, and that gave him enough pedigree, that gave him enough diplomas, that gave him enough experience, that the kings went to him. They didn't say, bring him here. They went to him and said, what does the Lord say? One king said, they're going, oh, they've come together to destroy us. God's brought us here to destroy us. One king said, oh, they're going, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just here. And Jehoshaphat's saying, what do you want us to do? Dig this valley full of ditches? You better believe it. Why? Because he understood the blessing wasn't in the digging the ditches. The blessing was after when God filled up the ditches and they won the battle.
Amen.
I don't know why God led me this way. Matter of fact, on the way here, I was thinking about this verse. Elijah and not quit. Because I've just seen so many people quit.
Amen.
But you know what I've also seen? A lot of people that have not quit. Brother, your testimony of the missions that's gone up and the time isn't the first time I've heard that. Hey, would you believe, Brother Kelly, we're running half of what we used to and our tithes are up and our missions are up? Why? Because the people that stayed through it all saw the blessings.
Amen.
Saw what God could do, and they said, we're going to hang in there.
Yeah.
One church I'm going to be with outgrew their building, so they're building a new building. And this property came on sale for $1.2 million. How many of you could afford $1.2 million?
Nope.
It went on auction. They picked it up for $400,000.
Amen.
$1.2 million piece of land with buildings, gymnasium, and all that, right outside Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Amen.
That's thrilling to me.
Yeah.
That's thrilling to me. I'll be with them in August. I was supposed to be with them Sunday, but they just rescheduled me. But I'll be with them in August. You want to know something? I saw that church a year after it was started. And you know what's great? Is to see some of the same faces. Amen? I was at a church, Calvary Baptist Church in Chickasha, Oklahoma. A lady came up and said, you've been in Japan? I said, yes. She said, you know Laverne Rogers? Now you got to understand, Laverne Rogers was approved by BBFI in 1949. He was one of the first group of missionaries. Got to Japan in 1950. He just retired last year after 72 years on the field.
Yeah.
But about 20 years ago, I'm at this church, and this lady said, you know Laverne Rogers? I said, yes. She said, I remember when he interned here. I was like, you remember when he interned here? She goes, yeah, yeah. She said, you got to understand, I was about this big. I said, really? She said, yeah, my grandmother brought my mother here, and my mother brought me here.
Amen.
And she looked at me with a big old smile and said, I want you to know, Brother Callahan, not my grandchildren in the nursery.
Amen.
They don't quit.
Amen.
And they saw the blessings. Don't quit.
Amen.
I don't know why God leads a lot of the way He does, but you want to know something? I don't care if you weren't encouraged or not. I was.
Amen.
Because you know something? It'd be easy to quit.
Amen.
It would just be... I got grandchildren in Washington State. I got grandchildren in Maryland. Amen? I got a son in Austin, Texas. Two here in Florida. I mean, it's like they're spread all over the place. Wouldn't it be just nice to retire and go visit them and stuff? Now, what I do is I schedule meetings and try to get as close to them as possible.
Yeah.
You know? That's the way we do it. Why? Because God didn't quit on me.
Amen.
God didn't quit. And He hasn't quit on me in 24 years as a missionary. He did not quit for me years before that. Matter of fact, since I met Him in 1986, I've quit Him more than He's quit me.
Yeah.
And by the way, in arithmetic, if I quit Him once, I've already quit Him more than He's quit me.
Amen.
Amen. There's been days when I got up and said, God, it's over. I want a divorce. Nah. I've had my complaints and I've gotten up and said, God, but God's always set something in my way. I'm going to end with this story. You'll love this. This is great. I walk out of my office. We were on the second and third floor in Osama, Japan. Right, you come out of my office, you go down the hallway, you come outside, you have to go down the steps and into the auditorium. A guy met me at the door. Brother, I hate this church. I hate you. I hate your preaching. I hate the music here. I hate the people here. I hate this church and I hate you more than anything else. And he walks off. And I'm sitting there going, let me go preach the love of Jesus now. This is good, amen?
Amen.
Walked down that hallway, took a left, just in shock. Walked down the steps, walked through the door, and there was a woman sitting there going, preacher, I love you. I love your preaching. I love your music. I love the music here. I love the people here. I love this church.
Amen.
I'm sitting there thinking, nobody's ever going to believe this one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just too wacky, right? By the way, the guy that met me at the door up there, got his heart right, graduated Bible college, and married the preacher's daughter. I figured that was enough.
That's awesome.
On his part.
Amen.
But you want to know something? That's the extreme right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I hit it all in about 10 minutes. And it was an amazing thing. And I got up there that morning and just preached like the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So I can depend on Him whenever and whatever is going on. Father, we love You and we give You praise. And Father, once again, I needed this message tonight. I thank You for putting it on my heart for the last couple days. And Father, as I go around to these churches and I hear stories and I think about things, and as I'm out there trying to build AFBM so we can give missionaries to bases that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the chaplains that are out there doing their job. But Father, there's a lot of chaplains out there that's just a career. So, Lord, we need to give them a church that you've commanded us to build. Father, would you have the praise and glory in all you're going to do? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Pastor?